We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 11, titled Calculation of Time from the Atom, text number 39. Translation: Eternal time is certainly the controller of different dimensions, from that of the atom up to the superdivisions of the durations of Brahma's life. But nevertheless, it is controlled by the Supreme. Time can control only those who are body conscious, even up to the Satyaloka or the other higher planets of the universe. The translation responsively, please. Eternal time is certainly the controller of different dimensions. From that of the atom up to the superdivisions. Of the duration of Brahma's life. But nevertheless, it is controlled by the Supreme. Time can control only those who are body conscious. Even up to the Satyaloka. Or the higher planets of the universe. There is no purport, so I'll read the next verse. वैकारे सहितो युक्तेर विशेषाद्भिर आवृतः अंडकोशो बहिर अयम् पञ्चशय कोटि विस्तृतः. Translation: This phenomenal material world is expanded to a diameter of 4 billion miles as a combination of 8 material elements transformed into 16 further categories within and without as follows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As explained before, the entire material world is a display of 16 diversities and 8 material elements. The analytical studies of the material world are the subject matter of Sankhya philosophy. The first 16 diversities are the 11 senses and 5 sense objects, and the 8 elements are the gross and subtle matter, namely earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence and ego. All these combined together are distributed throughout the entire universe, which extends diametrically to 4 billion miles. Besides this universe of our experience, there are innumerable other universes. Some of them are bigger than the present one, and all of them are clustered together under similar material elements as described below.
Om Jnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tanubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solam Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime.
Hare Krishna. Here, there is a very detailed description about Kala, about the time factor, its nature and its subdivisions. So we can see in this entire chapter, there is the description of calculation of time right from the atom. So in fact, the measurement of time is described from a very minute scale to a very gigantic scale. So we may wonder why such analysis is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is meant to present love of Godhead. Prema Aksharayate, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that each syllable, each akshara of Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to produce love of Godhead. It can produce prema in the heart of the devotees. And at the same time, when we go through the purport here, we can see these are the subject matter of the Sankhya philosophy. So we need to see why such analytical details are presented. So generally we tend to just skip over and we may wonder why is it there. So when we try to understand the different systems of philosophies according to the Vedas and especially in the Vedic times, one of the philosophy that was current was Sankhya philosophy. So here there are many philosophies, you know, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, and that of Kanada. So there are many philosophy, and here the Sankhya analytical explanation is presented so that that can be linked to Krishna. Because after all, this philosophy is useless if it is not connected to Krishna. So here the description is given a bit in detail so that we can understand ultimately this time energy, the Kala Shakti, is that of the Supreme Lord and it has to be used in Krishna service. So here that is very clearly mentioned that we can see that time can control only those who are body conscious, even up to the Satyaloka or the higher planetary systems. So time doesn't have control over devotees. So when we make the statement, we had to be very careful. In what sense? In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, it is mentioned that Ayur Harati Vaipumsam Uden Astamcha Yennasau Esyarthe Takshano Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Yes, there is a description of passage of time is given in terms of rising and setting of the sun. But at the same time, that is not really reducing the Ayu, the life air of a devotee. Yes, we can see that, yes, we are all finishing our life. We are all moving towards death, which is a fact, a reality. At the same time, for a devotee, since he is utilizing that time in service of Krishna, simultaneously he is developing attraction for Krishna. In that way, he is developing the eternal life in Krishna consciousness. So on one side, on the bodily platform, the body is going through the changes. It is growing up, it is staying for some time, and it is dwindling and it is dying. But at the same time, our attraction for Krishna is developing. So simultaneously, two things are happening. On one side, we are losing our material body. And on the other side, we are developing our spiritual body. So in that way, we can see that there is no loss for a devotee, because we are moving towards Krishna. Otherwise, as it is mentioned here, anyone who is body conscious is just completely under the clutches of time. Because if you see time, time is an impersonal energy of Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam presents the effect of time in detail. And so we can see in many verses, we can see the effect of time. Here also there is a mention of the effect of time. Then there is another aspect of time. What is time? Then there is the calculation of time. So in this particular chapter is the calculation of time. And there are many sections of Srimad Bhagavatam which presents the effect of time. This Ayurharidi Vaipumsam, and even in this section, there is the effect of time is so strongly presented so that we are reminded that this place is not the place for enjoyment. And time is in control and we need to get out of the clutches of time. And here the description is given in terms of this phenomenal material world is expanded to a diameter of 4 billion miles as a combination of 8 material elements transformed into 16 further categories within and without as follows. So here is a whole description how the material universe is, you know, is so wide. In fact, this is a unique contribution of the Vedic literature, that the understanding of time is very deep. Even in comparison to the material science, and even in comparison to other religious traditions, the understanding of time is very wide. I was other day speaking to one of the scientists. He was a physicist, and he had, you know, studied. He had a few degrees in science, in physics particularly. And at one point, he had given me a book also on time. The book was titled About Time. So it was a book written by an Australian author. He's a physicist. And it was interesting. And when I read through that book, I understood that in past couple of hundreds of years, the understanding of time hasn't changed so much from a material scientific point of view. So the measurement of time and other aspects of time, there is more understanding. But what is time? It remains as a mystery. Even from a scientific point of view, people do not know what is time. And at the same time, he had some understanding of Vedic literature. So he said, yes, according to Veda tradition, it is very interesting to know about time because you have such a vast understanding of time. You don't say that the universe started in a few thousand years back or, you know, maybe, you know, 100,000 years back. You have just a very vast understanding of time, and it is cyclical in nature. So he has some appreciation for the Vedic literature, showing that, okay, we have a bit deeper understanding of time than just a shallow understanding of time. And when you go through the different calculations of time, that is also, in one sense, it's far out. When you talk about understanding measurement of time in terms of atom, the time that it takes for the light, specifically mentioned as sunlight, to pass from one end of the atom to the other end. If you think about it, it's pretty far out. It is, think about it, it's just such a short duration. And when we come into the gigantic aspect of time in terms of its measurement, still we can see that here it is speaking about very, very vast amount of time. When you talk about a yuga cycle, a divya yuga, if you talk about a kalpa, and if you talk about a lifetime of Lord Brahma, it is really vast. So such wide range of measurement of time is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the whole thing is presented to remind us again that we have only very short duration of time. In fact, another interesting aspect of time presented in Srimad Bhagavatam is the relative experience of time. In a few verses before, it was mentioned that for all the living entities, no matter whether they are present in which planetary system, they are living 100 years according to their lifespan, according to their experience of time. So it is vastly different from us to beings in the higher planets, and finally in Satyaloka for that of Lord Brahma. It is vastly different. At the same time, in their calculation, it is just 100 years. So it is very interesting to see that we are thinking, okay, we have 100 years, okay, now 30 or 40 years have passed in our life, and now we have some more time. 100 years is too much, you know, now maybe people will go for, you know, 80 or 90 at max. 100 is a very rare occurrence. There was a celebration of 100, I know, birthday celebration for 100 years, one of my relatives. one old lady, of course, 100 years, you can imagine. So it was a big celebration, and it was the news reporters came, and you know, there was a whole interview. And she had studied some Ayurvedic stuff on removing the poison from the body. You know, it's called Vishachikitsa. So she was expert. She had studied that. So she was quoting some verses. You know, at the age of, you know, 100 years, she was quoting some verses, you know, narrating that she was telling, you know, I can still remember the procedures, and she was quoting some verses and explaining. So it was a bit of a surprise for everyone that, you know, at the age of 100, you know, she could remember something. So for a devotee, it is very important that we remember Krishna all the time. So the whole idea of sadhana bhakti is that we remember Krishna all the time and we never forget him. So this is the whole essence of sadhana bhakti. So in fact, all the angas of bhakti are presented in such a way that we remember Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada designed our morning program in such a way that most of the 64 items of devotional service are covered in our morning program. In fact, one day we were driving and then we were counting. You know, we were driving, so we were chatting with the devotees and we were counting each and every items of the 64 angas we were picking, and we were saying whether this is covered in our morning program. So we understood, okay, not necessarily in the morning program, but throughout in our day and throughout in our devotee's life, all these items of devotional service are covered. Say, for example, taking shelter of a spiritual master, taking initiation from a spiritual master, obeying the orders of a spiritual master. So this is not, for the first two, it's not necessarily covered in the morning program, but we have already taken initiation, those who have taken initiation. So, but it happens throughout the, in the due course of time, it happens for a devotee. So we can see that in the sadhana bhakti, all these items are covered so that we use time very effectively. That is a quality of an advanced devotee in the bhava bhakti. He never wastes time, avyartha kalatam. So if we try to see the advanced devotees, if you see Srila Prabhupada's lifetime, we can see how efficiently he was utilizing time, not wasting time at all. I have observed advanced devotees. Many senior devotees come to this temple, and I get many times an opportunity to serve them. And when you see the routine, we can see that they are not wasting time. They are just rushing. Not rushing, actually. In our sense, we usually rush because many times we are affected by passion. But they are in Shuddha Sattva. They are beyond goodness. And when you observe them, we can see that they are just so efficient in utilizing their time. In terms of their getting up, they are quickly getting ready, then chanting their rounds. And many times it is just really surprising how efficiently they are utilizing their time. There is no prajalpa. We spend a lot of time in talking and we spend a lot of time in our mind. We just think so many things and just waste our time. And we talk so many things unnecessarily. In that way we waste a lot of time. So, in the matter of advancing in our spiritual life, we need to control our tongue. That is one of the first instructions of nectar of instruction. Vacho vegam. We have to control our tongue. So it is very important. I was reading the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Rishabhdev's instructions, very recently. So it's the fifth chapter of the fifth canto. So I was saying, so initially all the instructions are very heavy. You know, very strongly cutting the material sense enjoyment and establishing how one has to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So, you know, many verses like Nunam Pramatta Kurudevi Garma, very strongly Rishabhdev is telling to his sons that just by the sinful activities for sense gratification, one is increasing one's existence in the material world and one is forced to accept another material body. And in the next verse, Rishabhdev, he tells, the reason for accepting another material body is it is not just the material activities, it's not just the sinful activity, it has a deeper root. He says that is karma vashaha. The mind is fruitive by nature. So since the mind is fruitive, it has to act in a pious way or in an impious way. And because of that, one is acting in a fruitive manner. So, beneath this fruity activity, beneath this material activities, there is a material mind. And in the next verse, Rishabhdev says, okay, beneath this fruity mind, there is another reason. He says, avidya avrita. The soul is covered, the consciousness is covered by avidya, by ignorance. So the root cause is coming to the ignorance. And because of that, we have the fruitive mind, and because of that, we have fruitive activities. So by engaging in these activities, we are perpetuating our material life. So indeed, it is considered waste of time, because what are we achieving in this material world? We start from nothing and we end with nothing. So I was going through the instructions, and when it came to, okay, these were pretty much the negation, what we shouldn't do. Then from text 9 onwards, Rishabhdev starts speaking what we need to do. So here in this instruction, the first one Rishabhdev says is, one should accept a spiritual master. That too, Hamso Guru. That is a spiritual master in the caliber of Hamsa, of a Paramahamsa Guru, one should accept as a spiritual master. Then he continues his instructions. Okay, one should restrict senses. And then he makes a very interesting point that Sarvatra Janto Vyasanavagatya. When I read this, I had a complete different perception of all the instructions that are given by Rishabhdev. Sarvatra means everywhere. Janto of the living entities. Vyasanavagatya. You should understand that there are living entities everywhere and they are suffering. So you need to realize that living entities in this world are suffering. So I could understand that Rishabhdev, he is the Supreme Lord, and at the same time he is instructing his sons out of compassion, and this compassion is manifested in the form of his instructions. And in these instructions, he is speaking so heavily so that people don't waste time in the material world. And he is especially telling his sons that you should understand the suffering of the living entities. Always, all the places, there are living entities and they are suffering. So you need to impart this knowledge to others. And you need to impart these instructions to others so that they don't waste their time in this material world. So I could see that, okay, even though at one point all these instructions seem to be very heavy, but when I read this, just this particular pada of this stanza, I could understand, yes, Rishabhdev is speaking out of compassion. And further on, I was reading the pastime of Bharat Maharaj. There also, it was very interesting to know that why Bharat Maharaj was acting in this particular way after having gone through the life of a deer. So it's a very interesting section. When I went through that, I also went through Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary. So on one side, Bharat Maharaj, he gave up everything. He gave up his kingdom, he gave up his beautiful wife, he gave up his kids, he gave up the whole wealth, and he went into the forest and he was performing devotional service. It is mentioned he was meditating and he was also performing deity worship. So he was going through the whole rigid practice of devotional service, and it happened that he got attracted to a deer and he fell down. So here, very interesting analysis given that why Bharat Maharaj fell down from such an exalted platform. So this can be looked from different point of views. So it is very instructional. On one side, Srila Prabhupada writes that he chose to practice devotional service by himself. He didn't have the association of the devotees. So when he did some slight mistake, there was no one to correct. And that got deepened, then he lost Krishna consciousness altogether in its practice. So that is one reason. Second, we can see that it was natural for a devotee to feel compassion for a deer when the mother just passed away right in front of him. So it was natural for him to show compassion because devotee is compassionate. But at the same time, the mistake was that Bharat Maharaj started thinking that I am the only protector and I am the controller. And if I don't give shelter for this deer whole life, then nobody is there to protect. So if one thinks that I am the proprietor, I am the controller, and I can only give shelter, forgetting who is the real shelter, then that is Maya. So this transformation of consciousness from just compassion to I am the protector, that caused the fall down. So that's the beginning of the fall down. Then he forgot Krishna so much so that advanced devotee is supposed to see Krishna everywhere. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita mentioned this. Stavara jangama dekhe. Sorry? Naath dekhe taramuti sarvatra hoy ishtadeva spruti. So he sees stavara jangama from the inanimate and animate, he sees Krishna's presence. So Bharat Maharaj was on that platform pretty much. But now, after developing attachment to an insignificant deer, he started seeing deer everywhere. You know, just like people are so attached to their pet dog. And they think about their pet dog all the time. And if you address the pet dog by it or something like that, it happened to me, you know. People got offended. You had to say he or she. If you use it, you know, it's an offense. It happened, I didn't know that. I did that aparats one time. Then I learned what it is meant to be. So in the same way, Bharat Maharaj, he was seeing the deer everywhere. He was seeing the deer in the forest. He was thinking about the deer. When he was meditating, he was thinking about the deer. He was seeing the deer in the moon. Because when he was watching the different marks on the moon, he was thinking whether this deer has taken shelter of the moon. Then he was thinking about the deer, the same thing, you know, Ayur Haradi Vaipum Sam Udayan Naschamcha is Enna. So when the rising and setting of the sun, then also Bharat Maharaj started thinking about the deer. So he forgot completely about devotion service. And then, of course, as we know, when he left the body, he was just thinking about the deer. Now the question comes, why Bharat Maharaj fell down? Yes, one reason we could see, yes, he was by himself. But for a vanaprastha and for a renunciant, it is authorized to be alone. It is authorized to perform devotion service by himself. So that cannot be the ultimate reason. So it is said that, yes, one aspect, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that one aspect is that, okay, he had the prarabdha karma, good prarabdha karma, to have the compassion and to take care of this deer. So he had this good element in his him. Okay, that is fine. But at the same time, how can such an advanced devotee have material attachment or suddenly sprout material attachment in his heart? Because even in the stage of anartha nirvruti and nishta and ruchi and asakti, all the material karma must have been completely burnt. So how still can have some prarabdha karma? So it is said that it was just a resemblance of the prarabdha karma. It was not really a prarabdha karma or the reaction which is meant to happen in this lifetime. Rather, it was a resemblance. It was not the real one, but it was a shadow of that. And the Lord utilized that. How the Lord utilized that? Krishna thought that I will reciprocate to my devotee in a most dear way. Just like Krishna had reciprocated to gopis during the rasa dance. Krishna was with the gopis and he left the dancing arena. So the gopis were completely distressed. So there is a verse where it is mentioned that it was just like for a poor man, after having obtained so much of wealth, he is now completely attached to the wealth. Now, if he loses all that wealth, what happens to him? Because he was poor and now he is completely wealthy and now he has lost everything. What will happen to him? He can only think about the wealth. Because I had nothing, I experienced such an opulence and now I lost everything. So he'll be constantly thinking about that. In the same way, the Lord thought that, okay, I can utilize this. So now, Bharat Maharaj is in this position. Okay, he has his attachment. And he furthered his attachment. And now the Lord awarded a dear body in which he could think about Krishna. So the Lord didn't take away his memory. So that was very special. That was the mercy of the Lord. So that in the dear body, Bharat Maharaj started completely thinking about Krishna. So he was perfected in the dear body in itself. He was completely perfect. So by the time he was leaving the dear body, he was a perfect devotee. He was a pure devotee. So when the Jada Bharat appeared, he was already a perfect devotee. And why he acted? Okay, there is one more point. Still it doesn't explain why there was this semblance of karma in Bharat Maharaj. So it is explained further that there was this semblance of karma because there was some remnants of aparat that he had committed. So there is no mention how or why he had committed, but there was some remnants of aparat that manifested as semblance of karma. And that was utilized by the Lord to perfect him. So here another instructional point is that aparat to the devotees, it is very critical. And it can have an effect even in the very advanced stage of devotion service. But again, by the mercy of the Lord, it had a positive effect. The Lord utilized in such a way that Jada Bharat, he became a pure devotee. He appeared as a pure devotee. There also, if we see the life of Jada Bharat, he was completely absorbed in Krishna. So the instructions, if we see the instructions of Jada Bharat to Maharaj Rahugana, we can see that it is very analytical and it is very heavy. Very, very clearly mentioning the problems of enjoying the material senses and associating with the material nature without Krishna, by forgetting Krishna. There also we can see that Jada Bharat, he was so advanced and he was in love of Godhead. He was in prema for the Lord. And he manifested perfect humility. And he was giving compassion to all the people all the time. It is mentioned that an advanced devotee, he is instructing all the time. Sometimes he speaks and sometimes he doesn't. Like Srila Prabhupada, he is instructing all the time. All the acharyas, all actions are instructional. It's up to us whether we want to learn or not. And when he is speaking, yes, of course, it is instruction, that is warning. However, Vapu is also instruction of such great personalities. So in the pastime of Jada Bharat, he gave compassion to his brothers, his siblings, and to his father. He was disobeying his father. He acted as dumb and deaf. And when his brothers told him, okay, now you just guard the field, he just acted as a scarecrow. He would just sit in the field and he wanted to just chase away any animals or any crow, anything comes, he wanted to just chase away. He was just sitting there and he never complained. They fed him some stale food, the food which is completely gone off. He would eat that food happily as if it were nectar and he wouldn't complain. This is one incident, he was showing his humility. Second, when he was caught by dacoits and they were about to kill him, he didn't protest. Of course, Mother Kali came and he actually killed all the dacoits. And third, when the servants of Rahugana, when they caught Jada Bharat for carrying the palanquin, he didn't say, you know, I am a great devotee, I won't carry the palanquin of this karmi. He just carried. He carried the palanquin. He didn't complain. Only thing, he was acting in a particular way because out of compassion, because he was seeing the ants, so he was making sure that he was not stepping over any other living entities and killing them. So if you see three incidents in Jada Bharat's life, he was showing compassion in all three circumstances. How? On one level, he was giving compassion to his relatives just by his presence. Because they were in complete passion and ignorance, they wanted to make money and they didn't want to hire a person, so they used his brother Jadaparat as a guard to protect the fields. So he was just giving compassion just by giving his darshan. Second, he gave compassion, he gave mercy to the dacoits by allowing them to be killed by Mother Kali. Because the dacoits could see Mother Kali, which is an achievement, a pure devotee. And they could see also Jadabharat. That is also an achievement. And they got killed by a pure devotee. That is Mother Durga. So it is said that by that activity, the dacoits, they could come to the platform of liberation in the next lifetime. So they can proceed in the path of liberation in the next lifetime. So in that way, Jadabharat showed compassion. And finally, to Maharaj Rahuguna, he gave the whole instructions. Why he gave the instruction? Because he manifested the mode of goodness. He was ready to accept the instructions. The dacoits weren't ready to accept the instructions. They were in complete ignorance. Whereas his relatives, they were in completely in passion and in ignorance. They were also not ready to accept the instructions. So, Jadabharat, he gave his compassion in the form of, you know, in darshan and also an opportunity to go in the path of liberation in the next lifetime. But for Maharaj Rahuguna, he gave the instructions in this lifetime so that he can perfect his life in the very same life. So we can see, again, one more point here, why Jadabharat acted in such a humble way. The reason is that he was in love of Godhead and he was thinking that I have wasted so much of time having gone through this dear body. I have given up my devotional service and I have obtained this dear body and I have wasted so much of time. So, and in this lifetime I cannot meet Krishna. So this is the humility of Jadabharat. I cannot meet Krishna and I cannot serve Krishna personally in this lifetime. Even though he was performing devotional service internally, but he was thinking, with this body, I cannot serve the Lord. So it is not worth serving this body. So whatever happens to this body, I don't care. So let it be my relatives, let it be the dacoits, or let it be the servants of the king. I am not going to look after my body. Rather, I am just dependent on Krishna. So he was in this consciousness, he was in complete affection for the Lord, and so that he had compassion for the living entities. And that compassion manifested as instructions. And those instructions are verily available in Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is not just for Maharaj Rahuguna, but it is verily available for all of us. So again, here comes to the point that there is a strong push to go deeper in the devotional service, in bhakti. So the whole teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam is that we have to go deeper in our bhakti. Srila Prabhupada always presented the mood of urgency. That is a very important point. There was the mood of urgency in his teachings. He never said, okay, there is Krishna consciousness, take your time. Maybe many lifetimes, you know. Srila Prabhupada never presented like there was always a sense of urgency. And here in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, that point is emphasized again and again. So here it is presented in the form of time, that okay, the time is limited and we need to take it very seriously. And we need to perform devotional service diligently and efficiently. So that even in this lifetime, we can have the opportunity to perfect our life. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, bro.
We were mentioning about the Vani and Bapu service.
Yeah.
Just one question on that. How important it is to have opportunity to do Bapu Seva, or just when spiritual master is present, just be satisfied with Vani Seva, or try to just focus on Vani Seva?
Yeah. Yeah, the question is, we mentioned about the Vaniseva and Vapuseva, the service of the body and the instruction. So how important it is to do the seva for the Vapu, for example, when the spiritual master is visiting. Yes, we understand that both Vaniseva and Vapuseva are important, but of the both, the most important aspect is Vaniseva, because that is present all the time and it is eternally present. We can follow the instructions of the spiritual master all the time, so that opportunity is there. And now the question is, how important is Vapuseva? So if we have the opportunity to perform Vapuseva, one should go for it. One shouldn't neglect the Vapuseva. One shouldn't think, okay, there is Vaniseva is there, that is there, but if the spiritual master is there, if say for example a spiritual master is visiting, if we get an opportunity to do that, we must do it. We shouldn't neglect that. We should do the Vapuseva, because it will help us to take the Vani seriously. I'm not saying that it is mandatory. It's not mandatory to have Vapuseva to take the Vani seriously, but it can help to take the Vani seriously. So in that way, we can take that opportunity. Then when we do the Vapuseva, yes, we get mercy. So we don't neglect the Vapuseva. We take the opportunity. If there's an opportunity to serve the Vapu, we should always take that opportunity. And at the same time, we need to understand that Vani is superior. Because by the instruction, the spiritual master instructs us what to do even when he leaves. When he goes from here, or you know, ultimately if he's not there in this planet, still what we had to do. So that is very important. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized this point very much. We can see Srila Prabhupada's instructions in this Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see his so many lectures, so many morning walk conversations and other conversations. So we have so much of Vani is available. And it is so important. So Vani is superior. At the same time, we don't neglect the Vapuseva. We have the opportunity, we take it here. Yes, Prabhu. If one had done Vaishnava Aparat, can one progress to the stage of Bhava? And
can one commit offense even in the stage of Bhava?
In the stage of Bhava, can one commit offense? So we can see that, at least in the case of Bharat Maharaj, we can see that there were some offenses. We need to understand it may not be very major offenses or something in remnants that had come through to the stage of Bhava. So we can see that it is possible. At the same time, we need to understand what we need to focus is that we don't commit offenses. And Krishna can hold back bhakti if we commit offense. So generally, yes, it is true. We cannot make progress if we commit offense. It is Krishna, it is just like a bank account. We have accrued an amount of bhakti credit. And by committing that offense, we don't have any more access to that bhakti bank account. So the devotional credit as such is not lost. Even when commits Vaishnava Prayer, it's not lost, but there's no access. So effectively it is lost. That is, if we commit some offense, we need to ask for forgiveness, so that when the devotee is forgiven, then we can get again access to the same bhakti. So yes, it is a, if you ask, if we keep committing Vaishnava aparat, can we make progress to higher platform? It's not possible. But here we can see an exception, or we can see a particular instance. That's all. Then we can see that on that platform there was a semblance of, or a token of karma, which was not really karma, or it is something which is utilized by the Lord to perfect Bhadmaraj. Say for example, if a devotee is fully surrendered, even in the stage of sadhana, one is one who is surrendered in the sadhana bhakti, still that devotee's life is under the control of Krishna. Meaning his karma is not just that of a person who is not in devotional service. His karma is under the purview of the Lord. So the Lord thinks whether he wants to get this suffering, okay, the Lord sanctions. So it is under the direction of the Supreme Lord, even for a devotee who is in the sadhana stage, who has taken full shelter of the sadhana bhakti. He hasn't perfected, he's a normal devotee, but has taken shelter of the sadhana bhakti. So even for such a devotee, the Lord is in control. Then what to speak about a devotee who is in the bhava stage? So his life is completely under the control of the Supreme Lord. So the Lord thought, okay, I have to take this opportunity to give myself completely very soon. So Bharat Maharaj had to wait only for a very short duration, because a deer's life is not very long. So he had to only wait for a short duration. By that, he perfected himself. So he became, from Bhava Bhakti, he became a Prema Bhakta. Even at the end of deer life, he was a Prema Bhakta. So this is a very unique circumstance. So generally, no, we shouldn't commit any offense, Vaishnava Brahma especially, and it will block our devotional progress. And at the same time, if you ask why he did such a thing, we cannot see just as a karma, rather there is the hand of the Supreme Lord. So it's very special. Yes, Maharaj.
You mentioned
essential question is how to bring the mind in the mode of goodness. I didn't mention that mind is in necessarily in the mode of passion or ignorance, not necessarily, because the mind can be influenced by different modes, can be ignorance, passion or goodness, and a combination of everything. You know, we can see sometimes we are in goodness, sometimes in passion, sometimes in ignorance, you know. So the modes are changing, so our mind do get affected by different modes. And according to karma, one is predominantly in one's in goodness, some is predominantly in passion, and some predominantly in ignorance. So, yes, there are different reasons to be inflicted by different modes. And coming to mode of goodness for the mind, practically we have two things that we do to come to the mode of goodness. One, we have our habits regulated. In that way, we try to come to the mode of goodness. Say, for example, we get up, we take bath, you know, early morning getting up, taking bath. We act in a certain way, clean clothes. We use a certain good language. We associate the devotee in a certain way. There's an element of goodness in everything. So, we try to bring goodness in everything in this level. So, this is one approach, which we, of course, use. And apart from that, there is this transcendental approach, that is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. By associating with the spiritual sound vibration, naturally the ignorance and passion goes away, and one can actually come to pure goodness. Pure goodness means we are thinking about Krishna, or seeing things in connection to Krishna, or we are thinking about Krishna service. So that is pure goodness. So pure goodness generally looks like goodness. So one time, this question was asked to Srila Prabhupada, that in which platform devotees function? Do the devotees always act on the pure platform, the Shuddha Sattva platform? Srila Prabhupada said, generally devotees act on the mode of goodness. meaning that even devotees are serving, we take shelter of material goodness in one sense. Okay, the activity in itself is transcendental, it is beyond goodness, but devotees are in goodness. Generally, so devotees generally take shelter of goodness. Is that clear? It's not.
I wanted to ask you a question. Yeah, for me, I'm pro classical, so I don't have a problem. For the rest of my life, I'm safe. Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee, so when he left this world, I didn't have to worry. You're talking about the Bhagavad Divani of the spiritual master. Now my goddaughters may have become a spiritual master. So it always makes me very sad when one of my goddaughters falls down and he has disciples. I feel much, much sadness for his disciples. And knowing that I don't have to go through this.
A very nice question, very deep question. So the question is that for Srila Prabhupada's disciples, there's nothing to worry that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, is a Paramahamsa, and he has gone to the spiritual world. At the same time, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada or followers of Srila Prabhupada, they may be gurus and they may have disciples, but at the same time, they have fallen down. So how the disciples of such fallen gurus can get least affected or can safeguard their position in Krishna consciousness? It's very important and it is something which we all should know. And as GBC has recommended, there is this disciple course that actually very nicely analyzes this thing. It's very important, and now Anuruddha Prabhu is teaching this disciple course to everyone. So I had an opportunity when Atul Krishna Prabhu came here, we all did that course with Atul Krishna Prabhu. So it was very wonderful to do that course. So it is a very important issue. Point number one, we need to understand the parampara very clearly. And we need to understand the unique position of Srila Prabhupada. So we need to understand the preeminent position of Srila Prabhupada. So, as we know, Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, as you know, it's a Hamsa Guru, it's exactly a Paramahamsa Guru. At the same time, it is not necessary that his disciples are Paramahamsas. It's not necessary. And there can be a potential for them to fall down. There's a potential. We cannot deny in a theoretical potential. So, here we have to understand very clearly that as a disciple, we shouldn't think that, okay, if we are doing, you know, samsara dava, we are glorifying the spiritual master. Every day a devotee is thinking, you know, whether my spiritual master is still practicing or not. That is foolishness. You know, that is foolishness, okay? If somebody is thinking like that is foolishness, because there is no real knowledge. But at the same time, we do accept that, okay, there is a theoretical possibility that a guru can fall down. So all the devotees in ISKCON want to understand. At the same time, we understand that our spiritual master is connecting us to the parampara. So Srila Prabhupada is our Shiksha Guru and he remains always as our Shiksha Guru. So we may be getting initiated by different spiritual masters, but our common thread is Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada is our Shiksha Guru. And all the teachings that we are getting is from our Shiksha Guru, that is Srila Prabhupada. So we may be getting the Shiksha, or we may be instructed by different spiritual master, but the original Shiksha that is coming, it is from Srila Prabhupada. Because everyone is presenting what is given by Srila Prabhupada. So our So this is a very important point, that Srila Prabhupada is not just Param Guru. Param Guru meaning spiritual master of our spiritual master, for most of us. Srila Prabhupada is not just our Param Guru, but Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya. He is the preeminent Guru. So we need to understand the position of Srila Prabhupada very well. So if we understand the position of Srila Prabhupada, then we can understand what is Parampara. Who we are really connected to. So a devotee need to get shelter from his Diksha Guru. It is very important. One has to be sheltered by the Diksha Guru. Point number one. Point number two, one has to be sheltered by the most important Shiksha Guru of ISKCON, that is Srila Prabhupada. And third, a devotee has to be sheltered by other senior devotees. So we have shelter from three directions in terms of gurus. There are three shelters we have. So we need to be very clear about these three shelters. And we can take shelter of our initiating spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada and all other devotees. So when a devotee understands that there is these three shelters, then one is safe. So if one shelter goes, then he knows how to act. Definitely one will get affected. It's not that, you know, one will not get affected. One will get affected to some degree because, you know, we may not be completely in connection with Krishna. We may not be pure devotees. So definitely one will get affected. Even a pure devotee will get affected thinking, you know, may not be in terms of his Krishna consciousness, but feel bad definitely. As you are saying, you know, you are feeling bad. So definitely there will be some effect if one has to go through such an experience. But at the same time, one need to see the other shelters within ISKCON. So that one doesn't have to leave ISKCON. Because that was one of the problems. People just leave ISKCON, thinking that, okay, there is no shelter in ISKCON. So that is because of ignorance. Don't have the clear understanding of our institution. Is that clear?
It's very good that they're doing that.
Sorry?
It's very good that they're doing that course.
Yeah.
Because this is long
That's right.
Meditating, and his
we have to be practical. We may have to travel at the same time. We need to say that if you are staying somewhere for a long period of time, then we need to have proper association. So we need to plan our life such that we have association. But if we have long gaps in our lives without association of the devotees, then it is very difficult. We have a lot of practical experience. Even visiting the family for, you know, 1 or 2 months, people can go with, you know, 16 rounds of chanting and come up with, you know, no chanting, you know. So even a couple of months can be dangerous. So there has to be some plan how we can deal with the situation where we can have our Krishna consciousness intact. Yeah, and it has to be practical. It can take. Yes, Prabhu.
One quick response to that.
Yes.
Following on from the Prabhupada, you can associate with Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
You can read his books, think of his instruction, hear his japa.
Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Gaur
Bye. is the 6, it takes say 7 or 8. It's not necessarily the number, it's the description you're giving as a modifier of how the ego is. It's just because the ego is like a sentence. Yes.